welcome to episode 14 of the Fat Doctor podcast, season 4, I should say. Done more than 14 episodes in total. I have a plan for this podcast, which is, as many of you may know, quite a new thing for me. Normally, I just have a go and see what happens. But I do have some things I want to say today, things I want to get off my chest. And the reason I'm sharing all of this with you is because someone said something to me the other day that really blew me away. And I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since. And it's really got the cogs turning, as it were. So this episode is about being likable. And I think I'm going to be quite honest with you. I'm going to be quite open with you. I'm going to be quite frank with you. Some of you may not like some of the things I have to say, but that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to agree with me. What inspired this podcast? Well, basically, I was a guest. I was very fortunate enough to be a guest on Jessica Wilson, who you may have heard me speak about on many occasions. I'm a big fan of her book, It's Always Been Ours. And she has a podcast called Making It Awkward. And I was recently a guest on the podcast. And at the time of me recording this, the podcast hadn't been released. So I need to put that out there, that all of this that I'm talking about is from memory. And I suppose the best thing to do would be to go along and listen to the episode, really, if you want to get more context about what I'm talking about. But I was on Jessica's podcast, and we talked about lots of things. We talked about Ozempic, and we talked about insulin resistance, and we talked about all sorts of like a variety of topics. But there was something that Jessica said, and she probably doesn't even remember saying it, and I'm not going to quote verbatim. As I said, I've not been able to listen to the episode, but when she said it, like, honestly, I was on the floor. I couldn't quite recover. She said something no one's ever said to me before. And I'm trying to think exactly how it went down. But I said something along the lines of, well, you know, it's human nature to want everyone to like you. And she said something along the lines of, well, really? Because I've never really cared if people like me. Something like that. And that was amazing. I was like, what kind of witchcraft is this? Are there people out there that don't care, genuinely don't care whether others like them or not? I mean, Jessica doesn't strike me as a liar. I don't think there was anything tongue in cheek about this. I think this was genuine. Oh gosh, as I think about it, I'm like, wow. Are there other people listening to me right now who don't care about being liked? Like, is that a thing, folks? Is it? Because it's not something that is familiar to me at all. I've always cared about being liked. And there's a difference between being liked and being popular. I don't care whether I'm popular. In fact, I'm quite comfortable being unpopular. I am quite comfortable being Britain's most outrageous doctor, trademark pending. I don't have a problem with this. So it's not that I want popularity, it's not that I want people to agree with me, but I am terrified of people not liking me, or is it not liking me, or just thinking that I'm a bad person, perhaps is a better way of putting it. I'm afraid of people thinking I'm a bad person. I care about these things. And it has just dawned on me today. Well, not today, last week when we recorded. For the first time ever, I heard somebody say, well, that's not the case for me. And it made me think, huh, is this not normal for everyone? And then I was asking myself, like, is that in of itself not necessarily a privilege, but like people out there who don't care whether or not people like you, like, what, like, how do you get there? What is the secret? Like, I need to understand this a little bit more, because this is news to me. Is it because you have really good mental health, like really good self-esteem and really good, just are really comfortable in your own skin? Is that what it is? Is it that you've just always been liked and you've always been popular, and so it's never been an issue, you've never been excluded? So perhaps it's not something that troubles you so much. Is it that you're like, it's the opposite? And you've gone like, well, no one likes me anyway, so why bother? Like, is that where you're coming from? All of these things, equally valid, totally understandable. But it really did sort of make me think. And as I started thinking about that, I couldn't sleep for a couple of days. I kept thinking about it. And then I went to therapy. And then I went, like, you know, I have been journaling about this and talking to people about this for the last few days. Why do I care whether people like me? Honestly, like, what's it got to do with anything? And that's a really important question. And as I started thinking about this, I started to think about what it's like to exist as a fat person in the world and how this impacts whether or not I personally want to be likable. And I want to just preface this by saying, look, there are probably plenty of people who have written about this already, right? Much smarter people than me. I personally haven't read anything about it so far, but that doesn't mean it's not been written. These thoughts are coming from my own head. They're like, these are just all my own thoughts and my own like opinions, but that's not to say they haven't been written about. And maybe some of you will be listening or watching this on YouTube and be like, oh yeah, no, so-and-so says that, or that's straight out of so-and-so's book. I haven't read so-and-so. I don't know who they are, or I haven't read their book, but like, please do signpost me, because I'm sure I'm not the only person talking about this, but I was thinking about what it's like to be a fat person, to exist in the world as a fat person. And I was thinking about the tropes that we are often pigeonholed into. And I came up with a few, and there's probably more, so you might want to join in with me. But the first one that I thought about was the fat friend. And I was going to look this up before I recorded this, and then I forgot. But there is a movie about the fat friend, and I forget what the movie's called, but it's like a rom-com type thing. From what I remember, she's not particularly fat. But that's not the point. This kind of sidekick, almost, you know, in a movie, the kind of comedy factor, or the kind of the one that sort of is constantly trying to please other people and make them happy and keep them entertained, and they have to be very self-deprecating but not too self-deprecating, and they have to be you know, have a good sense of humor, but you know, only when jokes are being made at their own expense. Like, they can't make jokes at other people's expense. That would be outrageous. You know, there's that kind of like the sidekick, essentially the comedic sidekick, the slightly kind of like over the top, or like, oh, poor person, you know, like, it's either one of the two, right? Like, really over, or really overtly kind of social and like really in love with themselves, really positive, or the other way around, like, ooh, my life is so hard because I'm a fat person. So it feels like the fat friend is like a common trope for us. And then there's also like, I don't know what the word is for this, but basically this is what happens when you let yourself go. Like, your role in people's life is to be like, this is my friend, and this is what happens when you let yourself go. And as that person, you're kind of, you have to be what we call the good fatty. And the good fatty trope is a well-known trope, right? Like, you believe that thin is ideal, you are always pursuing thinness, and you may or may not have achieved it, but that doesn't matter. The point is that you are the reference point, almost. You are the kind of like the measuring stick to with which other people can compare themselves to and feel better about themselves. Like, especially your friends who are like not super thin. Do you know what I'm talking about? The ones who have, or maybe it's not about whether they're thin or not, but it's the one who have, ones who have body insecurities, who like having you around because they feel like, well, I might not feel comfortable in my own body, but at least I don't look like this person. That kind of, you know, example of what happens when you let yourself go. And the good fatty, which I alluded to, yeah, that's such a trope, isn't it? Like, always pursuing weight loss, like, you know, only accepted if they can prove that they are a healthy, contributing member of society who is not a burden to anyone, because that's what we're told. We are lazy. We are, you know, we don't work hard enough. We are a burden on everyone else. We make other people's lives more miserable. We're good for nothing. We eat junk food and we just watch TV and we're couch potatoes. And which, by the way, I love both couches and potatoes. So I'm not understanding why that's an insult, but you know, it is an insult and I've heard it all of my life. But when you break it down, couch potato sounds divine. Like, if that was a dish, I would eat it. But yeah, so the good fat is always trying to prove that they are not the lazy good for nothing. That's their role in life, is to just be like, no, that's not me, that's not me. And here's my blood test to prove it, you know? And that is, yeah, well. And then like, I wrote this down, the fat cats. There was this like, I don't know, it doesn't normally happen to me on Instagram, but there was like this, what was it now? I'm trying to think. It was an insurance company. It wasn't an insurance company. It was like something bizarre. Like possibly it was Wi-Fi. All I know is that the point of this advertising campaign was, you know, there's only three or four companies. Or maybe it was like electricity supply or something. There's only three or four companies and they're all really greedy. And so, you know, join our company because we're like the underdog, but we care about you, yada yada yada. The point of this advert was that they had an image of these kind of like fat greedy men, like, you know, with like bowler hats or whatever. Like, I don't, they were trying to imply that like the fat cats on Wall Street, you know, they're greedy and they're gluttonous and they're the bad guys and they are, yeah, the fat cats. Can't think of anything else. Again, I love fat and I love cats, and cats who are fat are especially lovely. I'm a dog person, but if you show me a video of a really fat cat, I'm like, oh, I love that cat. Fat dogs, even more so. But this is beside, I refuse to get carried away by these things. But yeah, as I was thinking of all of these different tropes and what it's like to exist in a fat body, I realised that it's not very safe for us to be unlikable, is it? It's not safe for so many different reasons. We can't get away with it. Most of us, we've been conditioned to believe that whatever we do, we don't give people reason to dislike us, because that's dangerous. Like, it could result in physical harm, certainly will result in emotional harm, it will result in societal harm, financial harm. We have to make ourselves as likable as possible. And as I was thinking about Jessica's comment, like, you know, oh, I've never really cared if people like me, I was like, on the one hand, I was like, that's so brave, that's so amazing. But on the other hand, I was like, huh, I wonder what it would be like to feel that way, to not care whether people liked you. Because I don't know about you, but I have this terrible habit of trying too hard to ingratiate myself towards people. I do it less now online, but certainly when I first started on social media, like, I felt like I needed to please everybody. So there was that people pleasing thing, but also to make myself kind and compassionate and available and, you know, just to ingratiate myself towards people. I always felt like that was my responsibility. And I don't know where that came from, but as I've been thinking about it, I'm wondering, does it come from being a fat person, being someone who was told you're either like supposed to be the comedic value, or you're like the person who props up your thin friends, or you're like the good fat that absolutely does everything they can to be thin, or you are like the opposite, like a really bad person. Like, you don't get to be anything in between. And like, to be a really bad person, you have to be a bad successful person. Otherwise, forget about it. So, yeah, I wonder whether that has played a role in why I am so keen to make people like me. And I it's problematic for me because I am not very good with boundaries, and I often put people on a pedestal, people who have never asked to be on that pedestal, by the way. And so inevitably they will fall off it. And when they do, nobody's benefits from that, right? Like, it's all bad for everybody. And I am constantly second guessing what people think of me and what they need from me and what they want from me. Like, I'm trying to anticipate what it is they want and give it to them. I'm trying to make them feel special and loved and appreciated. And when I say all these things, I'm like, oh, this is all good stuff. Like, it's not bad. But I think maybe I'm not particularly careful about how I do this with. Like, obviously, there are people in my life who I want to kind of splurge all my energy and love and affection on, like the people who really matter to me, the people in my real life, right? And there aren't that many. I have quite a small group of kind of close friends. I have a very small family and that's it. Everybody else is kind of more acquaintances or people I know online. And we all know online is not the same as in real life. And yeah, it's not safe for me to be unlikable. It's never been safe. I look back at my life when I was in school and I was the fat kid in school, and I wasn't really that fat. So I know that I had quite a lot of privilege compared to other fat kids in school who would have been treated way worse than me. But there was always a sort of a feeling that like there was a sense of I owed other people kindness and I had to be nice and likable because there was already too many things that counted against me. You know, look at the state of you, look at what you look like. You are a fat person, and the beliefs and assumptions and judgments that people made about me caused me to feel like I was already on the outside looking in. I was already kind of like held back in many ways. They were already ahead of me. And so in order to be safe at school and not be constantly bullied, I had to make people like me. And I couldn't, like, I had nothing to offer. You know, like, likability and desirability is often, like, you know, it unfortunately is often linked to what you look like. I'd love to say it's not, but it is. And there are so many studies that back this up, right? It's what you look like on the outside, especially in school, that will determine how other people perceive you as a human being. So I had to be extra kind, extra nice, in order for people to think of me as a nice person. I couldn't just be like a regular amount of nice, because people assumed I wasn't nice because I was fat. And I had to work extra hard because people assumed I was lazy. And I was always picked last for the team because of the way that I looked and because I wasn't sporty enough. And I was always the last person to be invited to a party if I was invited to a party, because like no one, like I wasn't attractive and therefore wasn't going to pull the boys, basically. We used to call it pulling. I don't now. I'm like, oh, what was that about? But that's what we said in the 90s in England. I've just pulled. So like I was the unpopular kid in school, and it's not safe to be unpopular because you are constantly bullied. And anyone who's experienced bullying in schools knows just how hard it is to stand out. But it wasn't just school, because if it was just school, I could have handled it. But it was also my family as well, because that's the thing. If you're a fat person, even if you're in a family of fat people, they will attack you for being fat. They will make your life miserable for being fat. And you have to compensate somehow. You have to make up for it in some way. Like, I'm terribly sorry I'm fat, but I can do this and I can do that. I can iron your shirts, or I can clean the bathrooms, or I did all of these things. I was forced to be fair. It wasn't voluntary. I always have to back down from an argument. I always have to agree with you in order for there to be peace in the house. Like, it was just hard, you know? Again, it's safer to be likable. And then there's my career. Damn, I had a stellar career, folks, for like 20 years. Stellar career. I mean, I never had to look for a job. I mean, I'm not boasting, but I never had to look for a job. I was always offered a job. And it was always because people knew me as the doctor that everyone got on with, and, you know, like, was very helpful and, you know, worked really hard and was a really great team player. My patients loved me, like, you know, oh, we love seeing Dr. Lamy. Dr. Lamy always has time for us, always makes us feel this, that and the other. And so people, you know, like I did well for myself. I never struggled to get a job. I never struggled to fit into a practice. I would go into every new practice that I went to, and like I was like, right, time to make friends, time to make people like me. Okay, what can I do to make this person like me? What can I do to make this person think highly of me? How do I get this person to trust me? And I'd go in there and make lots of friends. And within a few weeks, like, I knew all of the receptionist's names and the names of their dogs and their kids. And I was having lunch in the staff room with people, and we had our inside jokes and our banter and all of that stuff. Like, I was very sociable in a way. People would probably describe me as very extroverted, but it wasn't because I liked it. It was out of necessity. It was because I felt like I needed to do it. I had to do whatever it took to get these people to like me, because if I didn't, my job would be threatened. And Some would say, oh, paranoid much, but no, because the moment I stopped doing that, the moment I stopped saying, yeah, I'll work for free, or yeah, I'll totally take on that responsibility, even though you don't, you know, that's not part of my job description. The moment I said, hey, call me Asha, not Natasha. Hey, respect my pronouns. The moment I started standing up, most importantly, against white supremacy, against fat phobia and weight stigma, my career got flushed down the toilet, dudes. Like, as I have explained on multiple occasions now, at any point in time during my investigation with the GMC, for 2 years that investigation was ongoing, if at any point in time I'd gone, do you know what, folks, you're right. You're right. This stuff is offensive. I'll stop writing about it. And they would have backed down instantly. There was no reason not to. They wanted me, and they gave me many occasions to be like, no, 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 you're right. I'm wrong. I apologize for being offensive. But I didn't. First time in my career that I was like, nope, not going to do that. And look what happened. It's weird. It's weird that somebody who struggles so much with being unlikable, and this goes back to my childhood. Like, I've done this work, right? I've done the internal family systems. Like, I've picked apart my life. I've been to psychotherapy. I understand that my issues with being unlikable, I can trace back to my childhood, my very early childhood. And so I know where it comes from. But it's not just me. I'm not the only person that is experiencing this. I'm sure of it. But being fat has reinforced it every step of the way. It's not safe to be unlikable when you're a fat person. And I'm sure this is the case for lots of marginalized or oppressed identities. There's something about being fat, though. Something about the fact that we can earn it. Like, I think my husband said something really profound to me once, not that long ago. He was like, you know, it was really hard being like the black dentist. People used to refer to him as the black dentist, like just horrendous, but they did, because, you know, there wasn't that many dentists in our local area and there was only one black one, and it was him. And you know, we talk a lot about like the code switching and how much energy and time he had to pour into getting his patients to trust him, getting them to look past the fact that he was a 6'2" giant of a black man, that, you know, they were all like, you know, you can imagine sort of 75-year-old tiny little white women going, ooh. But, you know, over time he won them over, every single one of them, because he's charming and lovely. But, you know, it's exhausting. And he'd talk about like how mentally exhausting it is. And at the same time, knowing that the moment he slips up, the moment he makes one mistake, boom, no one from his work would support him. He'd be out on his ear. Like, it would, you know, he knew he couldn't make any mistakes. There's a lot of pressure. But he said something really profound. I don't know. Someone was making some disgusting comment. I can't remember where it was, TV or something. I looked at him and I was like, I don't understand how you can put up with that. Like, I don't, how can you listen to that? And he just said, well, people are going to think it about me anyway. Like, there's nothing I can do to stop them. So I kind of give up. Like, I don't care. Like, I can't prove them wrong, so I'm not going to. And he said to me, because I can't stop being black. I was like, oh. But the idea is that I can stop being fat. Or I can make myself not fat. And so whilst there are definite similarities, there are also differences. Because I can't not be black. I cannot be black because I'm not black. You understand what I mean? He's saying, I can't not be black. And so I have two options, is to constantly fight it or to accept that they are never going to change their minds about me. But fat people have option C, which is lose weight. So we've spent our lives constantly trying to change people's opinions about us by trying to shrink our bodies and failing every single time. And so it's like a cycle of kind of, you know, perform the good fat, be the good fatty, lose some weight, tell everybody about your weight loss kick. Everyone's like, yeah, that's great. Come be part of our group. Oh, hang on a minute. No, 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 no. You know, it's like back and forth. But because you're being told that you can change people's minds, you feel almost obligated to do that. There's no sense of like, well, what are you going to do? Until you reach that point when you realize you are hashtag unshrinkable, because at that point in time, you're like, well, there is nothing I can do about it. And so things change and your mindset changes a little bit. I think this desire for likability just hasn't caught up yet. It hasn't caught up. I need a sip of water there. My mouth is very dry. So in this episode that I recorded with Jessica, like I said, we were talking about all sorts of things. And then there was a... So I have to put this into context. I had given my feedback about a previous episode she had recorded that was about BMI limits for gender-affirming care. Now, Jessica works... I mean, I don't want to speak on her behalf, but I know that Jessica does a lot of work when it comes to challenging fat phobia. And I know that Jessica works a lot with trans people. But she is both thin and cis, so kind of has thin and cis privilege in the work that she does. But I've always admired the way she handles herself and the way that she addresses these issues, you know? So I had given my feedback. In fact, she'd requested my feedback and I gave her my feedback about this. And so fast forward now to when we're recording an episode. Again, I can't remember exactly what she said, but it was basically implied that some people had heard this podcast and had said to her or reported back to her, oh, well, you know, Asha has been problematic in the past. I believe the words were problematic, but I don't want to say it again, like, that's what I recall, but who knows if that was the actual word. It's what I heard. It's what I received anyway, was that there are people out there who say that I've been problematic in the past and yada, yada, yada. And when she said that, like, it like threw me for six. First of all, because I felt like, whoa, I was not expecting that. You know, sometimes when I go like on the radio or like a TV show or something and, you know, I'm expecting the setup. When it happens, it's less of a surprise. This one felt almost, and I'm sure she wasn't trying to set me up, but it felt like that. It kind of felt like I was on the radio or something. I was like, but yeah, in that moment when she said that about people finding me problematic, you know, I could have just been like, so people find me problematic, and what? You know, people are always going to find me problematic. I'm very opinionated. But no, it struck a chord with me because I was like, no, 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 no. People can't think I'm problematic. And my therapist was like, what are you fearing here? What do you fear people are going to assume about you? And I came up with a list just off the top of my head. I can't remember everything that was on the list, but I was like, oh, I'm afraid people are going to think I'm fake, that I'm a phony, that I'm a user, that I'm a grifter, that I'm a... oh, some of the other words, like a snake oil salesman, or that I'm a hypocrite, or I don't know. I just like listed all of these things. And she was like, huh, interesting. I thought to myself, where's all this coming from? Where's all this coming from? But it's there, you know, like I'm afraid that people will think poorly of me, that they will think badly of me. And I really shouldn't care. Like, why do I care whether other people think that? First of all, these people don't know me. They know my social media content. Like, they don't know me. Pretty sure the people who know me personally and have access to my phone and my phone number were not speaking to Jessica behind my back. So these are people who know me from social media. And there are a lot of people who follow me, listen to me, who have a lot of opinions. There was this, you know, incident not too long ago when people had lots of opinions about me using AI. And I hear you, but I don't care. I'm not interested. I am going to be using AI. And if you've got a problem with that, don't follow my content. It's not a problem. And it's weird because there are some things that I really don't struggle with that much. And I'm going to give you an example here. This is going to upset some of you. Trigger warning. All right. Right now, it's lambing season. And I live next to a farm and there are all these gorgeous little lambs. Some of them are only a few days old and they're frolicking about in the field. I took some pictures of them the other day. They're still gorgeous. And there's like one little black sheep, one little black lamb who has, oddly enough, like either has been adopted by or has always had a mum with a completely white fleece coat. Like, I did not think that was possible, but there you go. You know, genetics, all very interesting. Anyway, beautiful little lambs. They're so cute. And I love them so much. But also, I will be eating them. And sometime in the future, they will be on my plate. I will be having lamb in the near future. I will never be a vegan or a vegetarian. And I respect every single one of you out there who don't eat things with a face, who are, you know, strictly plant-based, vegans. I hear you. And I agree with many of the things that you say. When you talk to me about farming practices, when you talk to me about the environment, when you talk to me about, I agree with you. I do. But I'm never going to be a vegan. And if you were to come at me and be like, oh, I can't believe you wouldn't want to be a vegan. What kind of, I would be like, I hear you, but I don't care. And I don't know why that one lands okay. Like it doesn't penetrate. Someone was moaning about me about recycling the other day because I made some offhanded comment about how, look, I'm all for recycling, but if I have a yogurt pot, right, and I've just finished it, and I know I'm supposed to go to the sink and rinse it out and let it dry and then put it in the recycling box, there's a good chance I'm just going to throw it in like the regular bin and not recycle. I'm not going to lie to you folks, and I'm all for recycling. And I hear, like, you know, like what's happening in the world, all of that. I'm very aware. You're all right. People who will come at me, listen to this and be like, oh, Asha doesn't recycle. You're right. But I'm still going to throw the yogurt pot in the bin. Sorry. I'm not going to change. Again, the criticism wouldn't land. I don't know what it is. Sometimes I'm comfortable. But when it's like sensitive subjects, like it's much harder. Quite, I really want to listen. This is not in my notes. I just want to point this out. Not in my notes. But yeah, people think I'm problematic. A lot of people have a lot of opinions about what I do. Problematic. Asher is problematic. Look, I have the receipts. I know what I stand for. I know that, as I said, at any point in time, I could have backed down in the last 2 years and changed my social media content. And as a result, I would have been able to continue practicing medicine. I make $0, zero money. I've never monetized any of my social media accounts. There is no benefit for me to continue doing the social media work that I can do. So I could still, I'm sure, could still get people to buy my courses and stuff like that if I didn't continue to stand up against social injustice. I say I still could. I mean, I think I could. And if not, I could find another job, right? Like I could, I have a medical degree. Like I'm all good. I'm choosing to do this because I believe it's the right thing to do. I'm choosing to do this because it is, not because I believe, because it is the right thing to do. Fat activism, fat liberation, fat politics, campaigning against weight stigma, all of that stuff. I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And you know what? Sometimes I'm going to fuck up. And sometimes people are going to think I'm problematic. And I should be okay with that. I should just be like, that's fine. Think I'm problematic. I don't give a fuck. But I struggle with that. Honest answer. Still struggle with that. Struggle so much that I became really quite upset by what happened, what transpired in that interview. Took me a while to process it all. And yeah, to those people out there who think I'm problematic, you're probably not listening right now, but you know, part of me just wants to be like, fuck you. Go telling tales about me. I don't care. Go spreading lies about me on your, you know, be bitchy. Make a video about me on YouTube. You will be in good company. There are plenty of videos about me on YouTube. Taylor Swift says haters gonna hate, right? And I know that's an old song, but it is true. Anyway, how did I want to end this? I did write in my notes, how do we overcome this? ? I don't know. Any ideas? Send them on a postcard. First thing I realized was that I don't like people making assumptions about me, but that means I've got to stop making assumptions about other people. Boom. Mic drop moment. If I don't want people to make assumptions about me, I got to stop making assumptions about other people. And oof, I didn't like that one. And I got to start sort of taking these fat tropes apart, right? I have a responsibility to myself and to the people around me to kind of analyze and process and dismantle these ridiculous fat tropes that I have been taught all my life. And I have been conditioned to believe this way for such a long time. It's going to take a while to dismantle it all, but I am in the process of doing it. I no longer think that I am a lazy good for nothing. I no longer perform the role of the good fatty. Most of the time, still get caught up in it sometimes, but I don't believe I need to, which is definite progress. I no longer want to be a side character in people's stories. I want my own fucking story. Like, everyone's entitled to their own story, their own you know, their own movie, as it were. Like, you don't have to be everyone's sidekick. You can be the center of attention sometimes, and that's okay. It's not comfortable, but it is okay. And, you know, I'm wondering about whether or not I need to start embracing the idea of a fat cat. Not an actual fat cat, but you know what I mean. Like, whether there's something empowering about being fat and being greedy. Because people make all of these, like, really nasty judgments. But people who are greedy tend to be rich, right? People who are greedy tend to be successful, right? Like, the whole idea about greed is that, you know, you're hoarding stuff for yourself. And I'm not going to be that person that sort of, oh, one day ends up making their millions. Why not? Who says I can't make my millions? But if I did, I don't want to be that person that's like has millions but keeps it all to myself. It's not in my nature. But I quite like the idea of, you know, being a bit of a fat cat. Nice suited and booted. I have never really spent more than 15 quid on an item of clothing in the last 10, 15 years. 15 quid's my max. 20 maybe. For those in America, that's $25. $25. On a single item of clothing. What happens if I have like a really fancy suit one day? How would that feel? I don't know. Quite good. So whilst I don't want to embrace greed and capitalism, the idea of being a fat person who's suited and booted and dining out in a fancy restaurant no longer bothers me as much. Make of that what you will. But yeah, dismantling these fat tropes is really important. And I think the third thing I said to myself was, you know, and I think I'm already doing this, but we need to keep doing it, is find people who like you for who you are. These are not going to be people you know on social media. Like, you don't know anything about me from social media. Do you know how many of my friends will, like, message me and be like, oh, I saw your social media post, are you okay? And I'm like, dude, social media, it's not real life. You know what's happening in my real life. Chill. That's not to say I lie on social media, but I'm not going to, like, let you into the intimate details of my life either. Yeah, find people in your life, in real life, who like you for who you are. I'm not saying you have to see them face to face. Some of my closest friends are people I have never, ever met in real life. Or I've only ever met once or twice. And that's fine. I'm not saying they have to be in your vicinity. And I think as in terms of finding people who share the same beliefs and politics and ideas and ideals and as me, you know, in my vicinity, especially since I basically live with sheep and cows now, is very difficult. But so there's nothing wrong with being online, but it has to be a genuine relationship. Find people who like you and find communities. Be in community with other fats. So important. Who can call you on that and who can make you feel like you are likable and you don't have to shrink in order to be likable. And the fourth one, the hardest one, last but not least, is learn to like yourself. And oh my goodness, this is the big one, right? It's hard to like yourself. I find it hard to like myself. I've spent my whole life hating so many things about myself. I could do an entire podcast like this. Instead of talking about being fat, I could talk about being trans. Because, like, wait till you put those two together. My whole life didn't feel like I understood my body, didn't feel comfortable with who I was. I knew something wasn't right and I didn't have the language to explain it. And, you know, not that I'm jealous of kids nowadays, but at least, like, trans is something that most people know what it means. Unfortunately, that can be because the word trans has become synonymous with all sorts of bad things and the word trans is now very infamous. But, like, I didn't know I was allowed to be transgender. I didn't even understand that there were trans men out there until, you know, I was much, much older. And then I didn't allow myself to use that word to describe me. I felt like I wasn't allowed to. So I have, like, many reasons to not like myself, to find me, to basically want to change myself and to know that it might be possible. Stay in the closet. Don't come out. Perform cis womanhood. You've been doing it for decades. Keep doing it. And at the same time, be thinner, try to lose weight, at least perform the role of good fat, because if nothing else, you can just be self-deprecating about the fact that you're fat, just make jokes at your own expense, and at least that will ingratiate yourself towards people. That's all I've grown up like, this is decades worth of conditioning that I'm having to decondition. And yeah, hard to like yourself through all of that, right? Really hard. I'm one of these people that, you know, the risks are quite high. Even on social media, the risks are quite high, apart from my career. Also, I get a lot of hate. And I think that if you're talking about fat politics and you're thin, you have the privilege of it not becoming personal. I think Jessica said something to me when she was interviewing me about like, oh, our hate's different. Our trolling is different. It hits differently. And yeah, it does. Because, like, for want of a better word, when people are kind of like, oh, fat people are going to get diabetes, I am a fat person with diabetes, you know? It's not the same if you're a thin person who develops diabetes, because there is no assumption. There is no stigma there. It's not like your fault, whereas it is my fault. And so I've got a lot of skin in the game. And I've got to learn to stop giving a fuck about what people think about me. I'm a work in progress, folks. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm better than I was, and I'm nowhere near where I want to be. But I really wanted to do this podcast today just because it felt so refreshing to have someone challenge this kind of something so, like, fixed in me. And as they challenged that, I began to challenge myself. I mean, I don't think she realized what she said. She probably didn't even notice. It's probably an offhanded comment that she's probably not thought about since, but like, I certainly have. And that challenge has really brought me some measure of growth, personal growth. And I needed to share that with you, because that's what I do, right? I think about something and then I press record on my podcast and a whole bunch of stuff comes out. Yeah. Oh, I might follow this up. I have another one. I might make this episode 15, you know. Who am I to judge? Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I'm going to just press stop and then record the next one straight away, actually. If you're watching me on YouTube, I'll be wearing the same outfit twice. Who am I to judge? That's next week's podcast episode. And it was just like, it's all happening, folks. It's all happening. All right, I've been going on far too long. Enjoy the rest of your day. Come find me this time next week and download the next episode of the Fat Doctor podcast featuring Dr. Asha Lamy, Britain's most outrageous doctor? Trademark pending.